Monsignor Peter Vaghi is with us. He is the pastor of the Church of the Little Flower in Bethesda, Maryland, and he joins us this morning. Monsignor Vaghi, good morning.
Matt, good morning.
Who was Joseph Vaghi Jr., and what was he doing 70 years ago today?
Joseph Vaghi Jr. was my dad, and 70 years ago today at 7:35 a.m. in the morning, he led a platoon on the Omaha beach at D-Day, the longest day, beginning of the liberation of Europe. And so today is a tribute not only to him, but all those men who died in that very decisive battle, which broke open the German Atlantic Wall.
Well, this is a brush with death. So many people did not make it out of D-Day alive. So as a man of faith, how did he approach what he knew was going to take place?
First of all, it's important to know that for 50 years, he never spoke about this. That generation never spoke. And finally, he opened up, and he wanted to forget it, what had happened. It was such a, I think we've seen it on the movie The Longest Day, Saving Private Ryan. It was a very, very bloody battle. But he felt he had a sense of renewed duty to speak. And when he did speak in the last years of his life, he talked about how his faith was what strengthened him. He talked about they were leaving England, and they had a mass. There was a chaplain in England who said mass and got them fired up, and told them to get up and walk across the English Channel. It was kind of a merger of faith and patriotism, and how prayer, he said, during that time was essential to him. He looked back to his immigrant parents and his formation at Providence College, where he played football, and Notre Dame, where he went to midshipman school. He said his faith had been nurtured, and that was his best preparation for what he was asked to do for his country. He was only 23 years old. He was the youngest. He was a Navy officer, the youngest beachmaster on Omaha Beach. A beachmaster is basically, he described it as a traffic cop.
Meaning that he was directing people to avoid fire, to avoid mines, to get there to the beach safely and up the beach safely, correct?
That's correct. And they used flags and blinkers, megaphones, and he was really in command of the beach. He tried to avoid through the minefields. He had a map, the mortar blast, enemy gunfire. It was a very difficult experience.
Well, I think that we forget sometimes that these men were soldiers on D-Day, but a matter of months before, they weren't soldiers. They were, people who worked in all kinds of other different professions, but when their country called on them, they signed up or were signed up. So how do you direct a bunch of people who 2-3 years ago would never have thought about going to war?
There was a lot of formal training. My dad said that they, you know, that at least as an officer, there was a lot of former. He went to midshipman school. He was commissioned as a Navy officer, but there was a lot of training that they underwent. It was extensive training for the invasion of France, both in England and in the United States, to be able to accomplish this. They were young for sure, but you know, young people can be well trained.
Well, that's why so many people refer to them as the greatest generation. What would he have thought about that title, the greatest generation?
He did not like that title at all. My dad was a very humble man, said that every generation is great, and he did, when he got the Bronze Star, unexpectedly, he said, I was just doing what I was trained to do. I was trained by my parents. His parents were Italian immigrants from northern Italy. I was trained at Providence College by the Dominicans and then at Notre Dame. He said, I was just doing my job.
Well, obviously, when you're that close to death and you see so many men meet their maker all around you and you wonder if you're going to be one of them by the end of the day, as the old saying goes, there's no atheists in foxholes. I wonder how his faith played into all of this, not only that day, but in the days that followed.
Well, you know, again, a number of these were interviews that had taken place. He didn't speak at all about this. He said he wanted to forget it. Growing up, there were four boys in our family and my mom. We didn't know any of this until, it was the 50th anniversary. And one of his responses was, I feel I have a sense of renewed duty to speak about it. But in those days, he said, I had no fear because I knew if God wanted me, that would be it. When I preached at the funeral when he died, he said his faith had been infused by his Italian immigrant parents. And that was it. My dad was a perfect Christian gentleman, a man of great faith and family. He was an architect by profession, father of four boys, and husband of my great mom, Agnes. He was a daily communicant for most of his life. So he truly was a man of faith. But you would think in retrospect that experience where he came so close to death nurtured and formed him so much for the battle of life that would follow him when he returned.
Well, there have been movies made about this. You mentioned The Longest Day, Saving Private Ryan, and Saving Private Ryan in particular is a very just a disturbing look at what these men went through as they were trying to free Europe. Was he able to ever watch any of those? Because if I were him, I would not be able to.
He watched, and I was a little bit concerned, you know, when he went to one of the openings here in Washington at the Pentagon, and he watched it, and he said afterwards that it was realistic, except there was no smell. So the smell must have been just awful on that for D-Day. But that was his one comment after watching it. And he would go on. They later sent him to the Pacific, where he took part in the invasion of Okinawa. So he said when he came to shore, I guess it was April 1st then, he was astonished to discover that unlike Omaha Beach, there was virtually no opposition from the Japanese that day. So he was both at D-Day and at Okinawa.
Wow. Monsignor Peter Voggi, he is the pastor of Little Flower Church in Bethesda, Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us on this 70th anniversary of the storming of the beach at Normandy. And we hope that you and all those listening on Guadalupe Radio in the D.C. area have a blessed day.
Well, God bless you, man. Thanks for inviting me to come on radio this morning.